Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn to this theme, this idea of the church, being a Jesus-looking church, as we look at it for the final time, and as we think about the church as a home, the church as a place where family meet, Lord God, I pray that you would really lead us and guide us, challenge us and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, folks, the theme this morning in this final wee installment of this Jesus-looking church is the church as a family. So we have had the church as a whole lot of things. Remember what they are. But we've had church as a school where we learn, a hospital where we're healed, a barracks where we're trained for battle, a boat where we're a rescue boat and not a cruise ship, and now we're a family. So can we stand together for just a second? That's not the sermon over, I'm sorry. But if we're family, let's hang out. Let's ask each other how we're getting on. Let's tell each other we're looking well. Have a wee chat. Go for it. Is it a good time?
What time, Mick? Good time.
How's that look fun like?
Oh, wrecked though, too. It's a shit.
Is it where the kids just wired?
Oh, just 12 hour days and kids getting less sleep and
what about yesterday, eh? Oh, flipping Spurs one though. Look at him.
Look at the smile.
Look at the eye.
That's it, back in the
time. Look at the eye. Here. You probably sort of could make an argument. You could sort of make an argument, couldn't you?
Right.
All right, bro, well done. That's beautiful this morning. Really? No, just listen. I couldn't get my shoe on. It's both. Big ankle support. All right, my friend. Bless you, brother.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Some good stories from that weekend. Have you heard any?
Yeah, I want to hear more.
So do I. We should just not have had a sermon. This was such a good idea. Have a seat. I know. If we're a family, we shouldn't have had a sermon, should we? We should have just hung out, got coffee going nice and early. Folks, this image of the church as family, it's different than these other ones, like school, hospital, barracks, boat. It's different because it's not a metaphor. It's not a metaphor. There's a moment in the book of Matthew, isn't there, where Jesus is teaching, and Mary and some of his brothers arrive outside, and Jesus is told, you got to stop doing that because your real family are outside. And he says, no, this is my family. You know, those that do the will of the Father are my family. What Jesus was essentially saying there is he's saying, you know the way we always say, well, you know, I've got my friends, but blood's thicker than water. Well, he's saying, no. When you have this blood transfusion of following Jesus and you live by his blood, you're bound together in a different kind of family. And I think that's one of the tragedies of the Western church, that we don't take this very seriously. That we're family, we're just a bunch of people that meet up on a Sunday morning, if you're really keen, Sunday night, to think about lust or whatever, okay? But we don't take this seriously enough. And here's how literal it is, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church. God's family is the church. I just put up a few pictures of some famous families here. Jackson 5. No, there's not Jackson 5. Jackson family. There's too many, isn't there? Jackson family. Next, the Beckhams. All right. They're a pretty famous family. They look very alike, don't they, the Beckhams? And finally, The Simpsons. And I would say even Homer and Marge look alike, amazingly. But folks, as you see from those, there's a family resemblance in all three of those families, isn't there? A real family resemblance. And what about us? Do we hold together a resemblance? Do we resemble not only Jesus, but do we resemble one another as we grow in Him? We're turning to a famous story, and just the end of the famous story this morning in Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal. And in one of our angles of the cross, we're going to look even closer at this parable as well. But what do we call it? The parable of the prodigal son, okay? But there's been a real argument that it shouldn't be called that at all. It should be called the parable of the prodigal father. Father. And, you know, a really good question we don't ask enough in the church is, what does that mean? What does prodigal mean? Does anyone know? Prodigal? Go on, have a guess. Lost? No, because the father wasn't lost, was he? He wasn't prodigal. Any ideas? Found? No, father wasn't found either. He just stayed at home. Okay. Good? Oh, it's close. Different? I think I'm going to have to tell you. You thought you knew this story, didn't you? Parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal means wasteful. It means wasteful. All right? And the only character in that story more wasteful than the son that goes off to foreign lands and blows his inheritance is a father that would forgive the wee git. Isn't he? He's wasteful. Wasteful with his love. Wasteful with his goodness. Wasteful with his kindness. And he's even wasteful with his other son, because he gets bother from them both. Wasteful. He's so giving. And that's why we need to think about this for a week, this cross, because we have a prodigal father, a wasteful, generous father who wastes his grace on us. Isn't that what they said to Patrick when he talked about going back to Ireland to share the gospel? Why are you wasting the gospel on those pagans? Our father is wasteful. And here's the question. Do we have a family resemblance? Those lads look really like David Beckham, don't they? Do we have a family resemblance with our wasteful father? Are we as a church defined by our generosity and our wastefulness? You know, there's a wee job to do there, delivering those love your neighbor neighborhood flyers and all the rest of it. Get them out. Take some time. Waste some time doing that. There's an opportunity here that Julianne and Ian have shared with us to really show the love of the Father, reveal the love of the Father to some of our young people in our church and in our community. Be wasteful with your time, your Friday night. Be wasteful with it. Be like the Father. He should define our family. And folks, how are we sure that we're in the family? Well, I think this is one of the most important verses for me that I've ever discovered. If we just move on to the next slide. John 1 verse 12. And unfortunately, in the Church of Ireland, I guess, in some places, in many places, we've lost the sense of what makes us children. And this passage makes it so clear. And it's two things. And you can look at this and you can say, am I really a child of God? We've already sung, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. If you want to know if you're a Christian, then look at this verse. Because this is the verse, if you look at the bottom, that shows us who have the right to call themselves children of God. I've chosen a red color there, which is really good because you can't see the important bits. But anyway, I'll explain it to you. It says this in John 1:12, for all who did receive him. So there's a key thing. If you want to call yourself a child of God, you need to have received him. Received him into your life. Received Jesus into your life. And you know, I am so much in favor of infant baptism. I think it's great. I love to do it. I'm happy if you want to do adult baptism as well. You know, it's all good. You're only allowed it once, though, is the bad news. But the key issue on whether or not we're in the family of God is not whether or not we have been baptized. It's whether or not we have received him. Received him. Have you received him? Secondly, there's two stages to this. There's nothing more to it. Have you received him? And secondly, those who believed in his name. What does the name Jesus mean? Yeah, the Lord saves. That's what it means. The Lord saves. So if you've received him and you believe in his name, you believe that he saves us, you get to call yourself a child of God. You get to be part of this family because the wasteful father only asks those two things of you. And if you haven't done that yet, folks, we've been blessed to see people come to faith in the time that we've been here in Dawingstown over the past 6 months or so. And we would love to do that again today. Just invite you into the family. And there's nothing more to it than that. We need to realize that we're defined by receiving him, believing in his name. That's what makes us part of the family. Let's just move on to the next wee slide. But folks, as family, we want to know one another. We want to know one another. And the knowing one another is going to be so much deeper than what as church we have sometimes made this. Because it's more, if we're really family, it's more than just gathering on a Sunday morning. Has to be more than this. Can we just move on to the next slide? This is a guy. Does anyone know who this guy is? His name's Raj. And he became the leader of the Alpha course in India. And let me just tell you a wee bit about Raj. Raj was one of six children born into a very wealthy Indian family. In fact, the highest family in the caste system. And at the age of 23, Raj encountered Jesus Christ. And his family, as a result of encountering Jesus Christ, they disinherited him. They cut him off. As far as they were concerned, he was dead, to the point they had an actual funeral for this boy who'd become a Christian because they were so ashamed of him. They have never contacted him again. To them, he's dead. And for several weeks, this guy that was one of the wealthiest men in India is suddenly walking around the streets of Bangalore and with no food to eat, walked all day, slept at the park at night, and started this new life. He began to speak to people about his faith. He has led thousands of people to Jesus. Thousands of people to Jesus. What an incredible story. But folks, tell me this. For a man that has given up his family for Jesus, do you think a Sunday morning service would be enough for him? Or do you think he would want to be part of a church that would be family for him? What do you think? A Sunday morning, that'll be no good. You know, somebody that'll say, "How are you getting on?" "Great." And walk on. What a guy like that would need is a church that was a real family. And folks, my prayer is that we would be a real family too. Just look at this wee list. Hopefully you'll be able to see it. Here's what our dad, or our wasteful dad, says we should do as a family. Here it is, Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another. Are we as a family devoted to one another? Galatians 5, we should serve one another. Do we serve one another? Galatians 6, verse 2, carry one another's burdens. You know, folks, I'm so in favor of going out and visiting people. I really, really, really think it's so important. But sometimes people will ask me to go and visit their next door neighbors. All right? Now, I am happy to visit their next door neighbors, but a good idea as well would be that they might want to visit their next door neighbors. All right? Because they live, you'll not believe this, next door to them. Okay? And, you know, if this church relies on me carrying all your burdens, well, just book the stress house out for me now. But we can carry all each other's burdens. What if we had three people from this church right at the center of our hearts? It would impact those three people, wouldn't it? If we were carrying their burdens. Teach and admonish one another. Encourage one another. Listen, daily. Daily. There should be text messages flying about this church daily as we encourage one another with words from God's word or words over one another or asking one another, how are you doing? Did you sleep well last night? Can I pray for you this morning? That's where it's at. Spur one another on to love and good works. Here's my favorite. Obey and submit to your leaders. Oh, that's a lovely one. That's our new parish vision. More like Jesus, forget it. All right? Submit to your leaders. No, I don't. I'm joking. But folks, you know, that's what Dad says. And is that not more than Sunday morning? Let's have a polystyrene cup of coffee in it. We don't do that here. It's much better. But isn't it so much more? Isn't it so much more than, are you getting on all right? Oh, good. Very good. It's family. It's taking responsibility for one another's growth. And folks, you know what? The truth is, I don't know all of you yet. And I'm going to work on that. And I can't wait to get to know you in a deeper way. And you can't really love someone unless you know them. But we as a family, we want to get so much more entwined in our lives. We want to become so much more better at encouraging one another in the things of God. And you know what? Prayer ministry is great, and I love prayer ministry, and I love to invite you up. But great prayer ministry can happen here in the pews. Great prayer ministry can happen in text messages and over breakfast. I love things over breakfast. Do you know? Great stuff can happen. Let's take responsibility. We're a family for one another, so we know one another. Here's the next one, that we grow together. We grow together. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, it'll be some of your favorites as well. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is our spiritual act of worship. Do you know you're a living sacrifice? That's worship. Worship's more than the songs we sing. Offering our lives as living sacrifices, that is worship. But someone once said, the problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps on getting up off the altar. So we struggle, don't we? And we need encouragement as we grow. How do we stay on the altar and continue to be a living sacrifice? Well, in the Old Testament, this is where we get the idea of altars. And there was something significant about the Old Testament altar in the temple. It had four horns sticking out of the side of it, okay? And those horns were used for many different things. If you read the first five books of the Bible, you'll discover that if you were, being chased and you were in fear of your life, you could run into the temple, you could grab onto one of those horns, and you could seek refuge there in the temple. But they also served another purpose. What do you think the four horns, you're going to struggle with this one, but what do you think the four horns served as a purpose on the altar? Have a mad guess. What? Say again?
To tie something down.
Great answer. It was to stop the sacrifice from slipping off the altar. These four horns. And what I have thought about a little bit in the past is, I've thought about, well, what are the four things that keep us on the altar as living sacrifices, that offer our lives as worship that's holy and pleasing to God? What are those four things? And there's a famous verse that speaks of the early church from Acts 2:42. And here's what it says about this church that changed the world. That's what we want to do, so let's learn from it. It says this, they devoted themselves, four horns, to teaching. Okay, teaching keeps us on the altar. And it's not just teaching from a boy like me, it's the Word of God, it's sharing the Word of God with one another. Teaching, it keeps us growing in the things of God. Fellowship. Now, this is a word no one else uses, all right? We need to get real about that. So if we invite, you know, the community into our church and we use the word fellowship, I don't think people really talk like that anymore, do they? Fellowship. What's a better word? Community? Is that a better word? Community? But fellowship, it's life together. Keeps us on the altar. Teaching, life together, sharing communion, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Praying together and praying for one another. Those are the four things that keep us on the altar. Four things that keep us living sacrifices that give our lives holy and pleasing to God. Teaching. Are you devoted to teaching? Are you devoted to communion? Devoted to prayer? And are you devoted to fellowship? Because that's a big call for us if we're to stay on the altar. And that's how we grow together. So if you're not growing in the Christian faith, if you're the same place as you were when Roland Hutchison was here, or Garth was here, or whatever, if you're still in the same place, well, you've got to devote yourself to this stuff, these four things. Teaching, fellowship, communion, prayer. These are the four things that keep you growing. And finally, as family we know, as family we grow, and finally, beautifully rhyming, as family we go. As family we go. We've already heard about the wasteful father. And we know the story. The wasteful father welcomes home the wasteful son. And he organizes a party. But there is a wee boy around the back of the house that won't come in. And he's the elder brother. And oftentimes when we think about the prodigal son, we forget this really significant character of the elder brother who won't come into play. And the reason why he won't come into play is because he's saying, Dad, you were so wasteful. You know, like, you're making such a big fuss of this wee lad. When I have been serving you perfectly in your house all this time, and there's no party for me. And folks, you won't believe that this attitude does exist within the church. You know, it's you know, every time we talk about, you know, outreach, or you know, bringing in these great, you know, great positions like youth outreach worker, people will say, well, why are we always investing in the community? Like, we need things too in the church. We become obsessed with what we need. We have served God well. We deserve something. We deserve something. But who is our model as the elder brother? Jesus. The one that's telling this story. Our co-heir. Our older brother. What did he do as our elder brother? Did he serve his father faithfully? But he left the house. And he went and he found wasteful people like you and me. He left the cushiness of his dad's house. And he entered in to our pig swill eating messiness. If he did that for us, what do we need to do as a family? We need to follow his lead. The people that serve him faithfully, we hope. We need to be the people that go out and find the prodigals and bring them home. Folks, we're a family, and I want us to be in the image of our dad. I want us to be wasteful people. Wasteful in the best possible way. Wasteful with his love. Wasteful with our time. I want us to be a family that really does know each other. We're so bound together. We're so unified together. We know one another. I want us to be a family that grows together, that we're so concerned about each other's spiritual growth. We walk with one another, and I want us to go together. And I'm so excited about the day when we as a church, we just all get out into this business of going and bringing home the prodigals. So excited. And we can actually do that today. Folks, a final thought. Just as we consider, just on our last slide. Where do we find our identity in this church? I love this quote. When we find our identity anywhere other than Christ, our churches will be made up of warring partisans rather than loving siblings. If our identity is in Christ, that's who we'll be. And the writer that wrote this quote, he asks a few questions. He says, you know, If we really find our identity in Christ, it shouldn't be abnormal to see a granny praying for a young girl with piercings and an eating disorder. If we find our identity in Christ, and even more challenging what this writer says, he says, if we find our identity in Christ, it shouldn't be unnatural to see a janitor, you know, mentoring a multimillionaire because they both know that he's more mature in the things of Christ. Are we a family defined by a wasteful father and defined by our elder brother? That's the challenge this morning. Let's be family. I'm going to invite the worship team forward. Oh. Never play football with Trevor Hannah. Folks, let's just stand together. And I'm going to pray. We're going to worship. And then, as usual, ministry of coffee, ministry of prayer. And please do remember to take your love your neighborhood things as well. Let's just pray as we stand. Lord, I just want to pray your love onto anybody here that doesn't feel like they're part of a family. And Lord, we know that we're not a perfect church. We know that there are people that I'm sure have come in here and just felt like nobody cared about them. So Lord, we just pray what we are not make us. We pray as a church, we pray, we repent for the times when we haven't looked after one another. And Father, for those of us that feel isolated, we feel like the family here hasn't been what we need, I just pray your love over them now. I pray that they could be released from any sense of bitterness and that we could start afresh as a church that really loves one another as you have loved us. And Father, I just want to pray for anyone as we stand who is not yet sure that they're one of the family, and they looked at that verse and they said, well, I'm not sure I have received him, and I'm not sure I have believed in his name. Lord, I just thank you for your wastefulness that you're willing to say, let's sort that out this morning then. So Holy Spirit, would you come and would you touch any heart that has any question about that, and would you cause us to do something about that this morning. Father, I pray that we would be a family that knows one another. I pray that we would be a family that grows together. And Lord, I pray that we would become a family that goes together. Lord God, make us so. We want to live as your family. We want to live as your children. We want to be defined by our Father's wastefulness and our brother's willingness to go and find the prodigals. Lord God, we stand, we sing, we worship you for all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, our prayer team are just going to come out to the front here. We're going to sing some songs. Feel free to come up for prayer. And we're going to have coffee just as soon as these songs are over. Bless you.